Freudian concept. Okay. All right. So, alcoholic addict and problem is Marcia. And today I have invited somebody that I met when I first came into the secular rooms, who is just so calm and relaxing, and you know, just makes me so mad as, you know, the person who's all over the place all the time. So, if you can help me welcome Ellen, who I met at the Westside Agnostic meetings in Cleveland. Ellen, you have as much time to share whatever it is that you would like to share about anything that you would like to share about. And thank you for your service. The meeting is yours.
Thank you, Marcia, very much for asking me, and thank you, everyone who's working on this meeting, for your service. My name is Ellen, and I am an addict of many things, and I'm so I never think about beforehand if I can help it what I'm going to say, because it messes me up. So it's going to be a stream of consciousness. And that is kind of it we'll just see how it goes. I have been in AA on and off since 2003, but I've been sober this time since 2012. I just celebrated 10 years in November. And thank you. I'm very comfortable in my sobriety and being clean and sober now. It took me a while to find that comfort, but here I am, and I'm delighted to have found it. And AA, I am. Let's see. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, and it came up at the meeting again this morning. The question was, do you love, because it's Valentine's Day here in the States coming up, and the question that was posed as a topic was, do you love AA? And if you haven't, if you don't, what's in your way? And so assuming that that's an assumption that you will eventually love AA, I do. And I know when I, and I was actually thinking about what AA has done for me just yesterday and the day before a lot, because it's, I have so many of the promises have come true in my life. And when I first got sober, it was unfathomable to me that that would happen. I didn't know what I didn't know. You know, hearing when I got sober in 2012, I had blown my life up. I had chased away my children, my friends. I was on the brink of losing a very good job. And all I did during my waking hours was drink. If I was conscious, any state of consciousness, I was drinking alcohol. And I went to a rehab center, a lockdown rehab center. When I did that, I went to a local hospital, and they had to keep me in the emergency room for a while because I was dangerously saturated with alcohol. And they had me, when I went to the rehab, they had me on a 15-minute watch because they were afraid that I was going to seize, because I was so. My body was so addicted to alcohol. And that's where I left alcohol. It took me a good year and a half, I'm going to say, to settle down and stop being pissed off. I was a really angry woman for a really long time. And I don't know what the catalyst was, but I remember driving. I went to traditional meetings. That's where I got sober. And I don't know what the catalyst was, but I was walking through the parking lot to a women's meeting. That was one of the meetings that saved my life. And I used, when I could hear them in the parking lot, and I could hear them all talking at once, and the noise level was unbelievable. I used to think, oh, for Christ's sake, there they go again, you know? And I'd get in the meeting, and I would tell people, do not hug me. Do not come near me. If I share something personal with you, it's because I share personal shit. It's not because I want your sympathy or your kindness. And And that was the way I behaved. I was an angry woman. And people absolutely made a circle around me. They avoided me. Nobody ever said, get over yourself. Nobody ever said, calm down. Nobody ever gave me any advice. They just listened and moved on and were kind to me. And I know that that's one of the reasons that I kept coming back. And that's a hallmark that I've come to count on in AA, that we understand people who come in angry and broken and scared to the point that they're unkind. And it just absolutely saved me. I know that the first time somebody had given me a hard time or been unkind to me or told me to get a life, that would have been my excuse to not come back. And it didn't happen. And I was walking through that parking lot, and I just that day, for some reason, I don't know why, I couldn't wait to get inside and see everybody. I stopped being angry at people who were going the speed limit in front of me instead of wanting to push them off the road. I just started taking responsibility for my actions, or at least in my head, understanding why they were happening. It took me a long time to practice that outwardly. But it started changing my life. Of course, there were people in my life that I'd alienated that were, they'd heard me say, I'm going to stop doing this and I'm never going to drink again and I'm sorry and all of that stuff for so many years. But this time didn't really make any difference to them. They were not going to believe me. I worked for a municipal government. I was being followed by plainclothes police officers. They were gathering as much information on me as they could to try and get me out of my job. I was outraged that they were trying to collect that kind of ammo against me. At first, and then I understood, you know, none of this would be happening to me if I hadn't have been a drunk. That whether or not the way they were spending the taxpayers' dollars, the things that they were doing to try and get rid of me, any of that stuff, whether or not it was fair or just or legal or whatever, I wouldn't have been in that position. They wouldn't have been doing those things to me if I hadn't have been a friggin' mess. And if I hadn't have been really bad for the morale of the people around me and wasting taxpayers' dollars because I went to work and I was barely able to do anything. So I started the long journey back of finding that humility and really not embracing it for sure, but being a little more understanding of why things were happening to me the way they did. I fought it for a long time. I was a know-it-all at every meeting. I always had to comment and tell everybody what they should be doing. I was the person that a lot of people didn't want to see walking through the door. But again, they were very kind to me. I've heard people talk about things that happened to them in their childhood and the why they behave the way they behave. And I know a lot of people that have had a lot of really terrible things happen to them in their childhood who are not alcoholics. So I don't blame my alcoholism on my past. My behavior has everything to do with it, not the fact that I became a drunk. And I just got tired of being angry and just cutting people off at the knees all the time. I spent the next 3 years of my sobriety trying to clean up what I had messed up at my job. I managed to keep my job by the skin of my teeth. A council of seven had to either vote me out or keep me on. And fortunately, I had four people who were in my corner. So it was a simple majority that kept me in my position. And I was able to able to continue there and would have retired from there. But in 2016, I got a call from my father who told me that he was terminally ill. And I decided to take an early retirement and go to Colorado, to go back to Colorado from Ohio to care for him through the rest of his life. And he had Parkinson's disease, and we later found out lung cancer. And any terminal disease is a tough diagnosis. Parkinson's disease takes away your ability to be the human that you are. For my father, it did anyway. He was a strong, really strong, physically strong, morally strong, emotionally strong person. And that man disappeared. And I spent the next couple of years, 2 years almost exactly, caring for a person that was a stranger to me, but who had given me life, and who occasionally I saw glimpses of the father that I'd known. But because I was sober, I learned through that experience to be gentle with myself, to be patient most of the time, to be okay with sitting still. Until I went to Colorado, sitting still wasn't something I could do. I would go into my house, I would go in from work, change my clothes, and blow back out the door and go to halfway houses and pick girls up and take them to meetings. And not necessarily because I was such a generous, kind person, but because I couldn't sit the fuck still. I couldn't go in my house and sit still and just be alone with myself. And it took having to be in a position where I couldn't just leave for me to learn how to sit and be alone with myself. And through all of this, AA was there. The women who helped get me sober and stood by my side, and the men at another meeting, the women, which was a mixed meeting, that they gathered around me like I was, and because I was their family, and they supported me wholeheartedly before I went to Colorado. They supported me while I was there. I found new people at AA meetings in Colorado that supported me. And when my father died and I took care of all of the business that happens after that, and I came back to Ohio, I was welcomed back by family. Until that happened, I had always thought of myself as a Coloradan living in Ohio. After I got back to Ohio from caring for my father, I found out that I was an Ohioan who used to be from Colorado. So I was completely at home again. I established relationships with my daughters. I didn't reestablish relationships. I didn't regain anything that I'd lost to drinking because I didn't have anything. I didn't have the ability to I was never amazed by beautiful views or by experiences or by occurrences that were amazing. They didn't amaze me. It's just another tree. It's just another cliff. It's just the ocean. It's just a child dying. These things happen all of the time. Nothing brought me out of that numbness, that just getting through life, except a party brought me out. I'd drink some booze or I'd do some drugs and I would suddenly come to life. When I stopped drinking, I was really worried all of that was going to go away and that I was just not going to know what to do with my life, how to live my life. I was terrified to drink, and I was terrified to not drink. And when I got back from Colorado and I was welcomed back by people who had never known me before I walked through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, as if I was their long lost sister, daughter, friend, it was a coming home that I can't describe. I established a relationship with my daughters. I established an understanding of my life and how it works. I have a pet now that I can tell you I love. I always had an affection for the animals in my home, but I never really had an emotional connection to them. Same with my, you know, I mean, I had an emotional connection to my children for sure, but I didn't know what to do with it. And I learned how to be the mother of grown daughters. I was not a mother to those small children. I was a drunk who happened to be in the house with them and raged at them and tried to mold them instead of trying to raise them and give them the best opportunity to be whatever they wanted to be. I was a controller and a rager. And eventually those girls started believing that I really might mean it this time. And they started coming around. Eventually people who knew me before I got sober started understanding that I was a different person. Some of them were happy about that. Some of them were not. And it's okay because as my life evolves, my circle of friends, my circle of acquaintances and supportive acquaintances and lovely people gets bigger. My circle of close, treasured friends also grows. And my comfort level has become something that I just couldn't have ever thought to even want. I didn't know it existed. I have, I just came from the Westside Agnostics 11 a.m. meeting here, which ends at noon. And it was full of people in every different stage of recovery from 34, 35 years down to 1 month. And I love that. I love those juices. I love people helping other people. I love watching light bulbs go off. I love being able to listen with compassion. Had no clue what that was when I was drinking. I didn't know how to feel anything for people. And now I do, but I'm not an empath to the point where I can't live my own life. And I soak it all in and I become so caught up in other people's problems that I have a hard time functioning throughout my day. I feel compassion. I feel a sense of a certain sense of understanding. Some I don't understand at all. I can just reach out and put my hand out. I'm working really hard to listen at meetings and not be the person who's waiting to talk. I love sharing at meetings, and I find myself very often not really hearing everything that's being said because I can't wait to get my 2 cents in. So I've started backing off sharing at meetings as much, and I've started being really careful about is what I want to say something that I'm trying to get attention for? Am I trying to tell people how to live, or am I really offering a new dimension or a new thought or help or a handout when I speak now? I really want to be intentional about that. I'm best friends with my ex-husband. Who knew that would happen? That just came out of the blue to me. I will tell you, when we got divorced, there was no way that I wanted to be a friend of his. I didn't want to have anything to do with him. Now I worry that might not be okay. He is in the beginning of some challenges in his own life. And I am concerned about him and concerned with love. He's a good man. Although his politics are screwed. But anyway, I have found peace. I have found I I don't try to, I don't take things personally the way I used to. If I walked into a meeting and two people were talking quietly, I knew it was about me. If my daughters said something that wasn't directly complimentary, I took it as an insult. I mean, I was the touchiest person on the face of the earth. And I let you know, I pouted. I wanted my daughter's sympathy. I didn't care if they loved me or not. I just didn't want them to be mad at me. Now I have to get used to them initiating a hug and a kiss when they see me. That was not the case. I had to stop trying to get hugs and kisses from them when I would go there, because they would put themselves in a position to not receive that from me. So I just let it go. And now I have to say, oh yeah, we do this now. And they come to me and embrace me. They let me care for their children. That was never on the table. To leave me alone with one of their children would never have happened without my sobriety if I were still living. So I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who come to AA. It's not an easy thing to do. It's hard. The first year that's the hardest thing I ever did, was give up alcohol and not drink a day at a time. That was the hardest thing for me. I was so terrified, and I needed that need was on me out of the blue all of the time, especially in the first 3 months. I would feel fine. Nothing would be bothering me. And all of a sudden it would be on me like glue. I had the cleanest house in my city. I would scrub a floor, scrub a toilet, do anything to get myself out of what I was doing when that need hit, to just make it through to the next 5 minutes so that I wouldn't drink. And today I don't have the cleanest house in the city, for sure. I have a lovely home that I'm very comfortable in, and I have absolutely no desire to put alcohol or drugs into the mix, because why screw up a good thing? And it doesn't occur to me anymore. I'm done. Thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you for being part of my family, and for allowing me to share how I feel and how my life has gone with you.